Welcome to Marvin Methodist Church. My name is Doug Baker, and I'm the lead pastor. As we continue our celebration of the Easter season, today we continue a new sermon series entitled Transform to Overcome. Each message will celebrate a potential change that God brings for you through the power of the resurrection of Christ. Let's join in as God invites us to experience a new way of living.
Do not fret because of those who are evil, or be envious of those who do wrong. For like the grass, they will soon wither. Like green plants, they will soon die away. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteous reward shine like the dawn, your vindication like the noonday sun. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Well, those joining us online, we welcome you to this broadcast, and also everyone in the room today. We're grateful that you're here again as we honor our graduating seniors today. You'll be hearing about that as we bless them towards the end of the service. And they'll also have an interview of two of those individuals here after this message this morning. Psalm 37 is where we're going to be today. So as we prepare our hearts to receive the message, let us pray. God, do a good work. Now, I pray through this message, open our hearts to your truth. Speak through me. Hide me now behind the cross. Lord, we pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Well, Psalm 37 is a teaching psalm. And what that simply means is that it's intention is to instruct probably younger Hebrew children in the ways of God with very simple way to help them to memorize it. It is in the Hebrew language, you'll see that they'll do a Hebrew acrostic. So you'll take the Hebrew alphabet and you'll begin to move through the letters of the alphabet. So verse 1, verse 3, verse 5, all of the next letter, subsequent letter in the Hebrew alphabet. So that is to aid in the memorization of this. And so let's just, for example, look at the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Aleph. And the word fret begins with the word with the letter Aleph. So fret not those who are evil. Do not fret because of those who are evil or envious of those who do wrong. For like grass, they will soon wither. The next verse, 3, Beth is the Hebrew letter, and Beth starts the word truth in Hebrew. Truth, or trust, excuse me, trust in the Lord and do good. And then there is Gamel, which is the first letter of the word commit. Verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, trust in him, and he will do this. He will make your righteousness shine. So as we just begin to look at this this teaching psalm of Psalm 37, let me just begin to think about this idea of fret not. Fret not. Don't be anxious. Don't fret about others or what they are doing. So friends, as we go off into our lives, and especially these graduates of high school getting ready for college, don't climb the long ladder only to realize that that ladder is leaning against the wrong wall. There will be others that might be climbing ladders of success and trying to do things that you don't agree with, but let them do that. And don't fret not, and do not be anxious that you are missing out. They might sacrifice their morals. They might do this because of peer pressure. They might do this also because they are trying to be popular. But in that sense, they may also lose their mooring of their faith. They may also lose their respect for themselves. And those are very important things. Your integrity matters. And then this idea also, some may be prioritizing image. No one ever does that, right? The image that they have of success, the image that they have on how they look, what they accomplish, the titles that they have, the things that they align, the people they run with, instead of finding their identity in God. Fret not those people. And also fret not the idea or the way the entrapment of the what we call the pleasure paradox or the happiness illusion. And the happiness illusion is this. If you take seriously the pursuit of your own happiness, it will be an elusive pursuit. whatever you're going after, you'll succeed at it, and then you'll find that maybe the next thing will grab your attention, and you'll just constantly be looking for happiness. What the Lord is trying to say, I think, in this is fret not the anxiety of what the world is chasing after. The world wants popularity. The world wants fame. The world wants the beautiful home, the high expensive car, and all of these things. But don't get anxious about that, because your happiness is to be found in God. You know where America ranks in the happiness scale? The 830 service did really well at this choir. You're disqualified from this. Where do you think that the America ranks in the happiness listing of all the countries in the world? Where, what number would America be? Anybody want to throw out a couple numbers? Did you say 75? Wow. We're number 23. 23. When our Constitution says that we have the ability to for liberty and the pursuit of happiness, and yet we have all of these wonderful blessings in this country, and yet so many people were ranked down 23 as far as happiness. Maybe we're pursuing the wrong things and we are disappointed. And let me just say this. As a Christian nation, or one that maybe is still, I know we're in this strange post-Christian time, but we do have this movement of Gen Z coming up that are deeply committed Christians. Maybe we'll discover that our happiness truly grows up because more are coming to find their happiness in the Lord instead of the possessions and the other things. Let me just say, happiness is connected to happening. Something happens that makes you happy. And yet we want to unpack that a little bit and just say that there will always be circumstances changing your life that can make you happy or unhappy. And emotions will go up and down. But true happiness, we're trying to say in this psalm today, and my message to our seniors is, your happiness must ultimately be found in God. Your happiness is found in your relationship with Jesus Christ. And I will be here to confess today that I have tied my happiness to happenings. And I have tied my happiness to the arrival of the organ and its installation after 5 years of raising the money and planning this and picking one out and doing the campaign. And then finally, after 5 years, it's here. But the first shipment came on Monday. Thank you to the 40 volunteers that helped with that. But guess what? It's not all of it. It's two more deliveries are still on their way. The next one is sometime in May. And they're being a little bit not committal, right? And Billy, you were a prophet earlier when you said, don't, if you have a summer wedding, don't bank on it, right? But I want to confess to you, I have tied my happiness to the delivery of the organ and to its installation. And this week when we found out there's going to be some possible delays, I had my heart set on being in the sanctuary on July 4th, 250th anniversary of America. Now we're hearing possibly no. And I was disappointed, just like you in hearing that sigh that you're offering yourself today. But I cannot tie my happiness to when that organ comes. But it's so easy to tie your happiness to that. I have also tied my happiness to when Amazing Grace Church will receive the property and the land and the buildings that Alfred Najao over the last 15 years has built. And on Thursday, they were in court again. And on Thursday, the judge said, come back on May 18th. And I was so glad that I did not get up at 2:00 in the morning and do my vigil of prayer that I have been doing in those prayer times, because they're 8 hours ahead of us. And so, friends, I was saddened by the fact that this was not completed again. We still do not have a judgment. What does the word say to me? Fret not, Doug. Fret not. Because there will always be untied loose ends, because life is the writing of a symphony and it is always evolving and changing. And there will always be people who have more than you, and there will always be people who disagree with you, and there will always be people who don't get the schedule in line with what you're thinking it needs to be. But don't fret that. Don't fret that. That's what the word says to us. Also, verse 3 reminds us, trust in the Lord and do good. The admonition is picked up again in verse 5, trust in him. I was so pleased this morning at our breakfast with the graduating seniors. One of the parents cited Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 and encouraged their graduating senior to have that memorized. I think it was Ms. Beaumont who said she had memorized it early in her life. I have memorized it early in my life. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him and he will make your paths straight. Trust in the Lord. And that's this word, trusting in the Lord is good. It is what we are to do, not to lean on our own understanding. Why is this important? Why must we rely on God's wisdom rather than our own? Because human understanding is subject to error. It can be tainted by sin. It can be limited in its wisdom. It can be based on impulsive assumptions. It can become out of faulty emotions. And sometimes advice given by people who are emotionally immature. Therefore, we must always surround ourselves with Christian people with wisdom and the Word of God and stay focused on what is God's Word saying. What is God? How can I grow in my trust of the Lord? Now, I've mentioned verse 3 and verse 5, but verse 4 states that we are to take delight in the Lord. And let me just say to everyone in this room, I hope that when you study God's Word, that sometimes you open up a different version of the Bible. It's not anything complicated. You don't have to buy like 25 different Bibles to get a different reading of the Scriptures, because there are all kinds of translations out there. You can simply go to Bible Hub or something like that, or one of your favorite Bible apps, and you can read the different translations. And I like to do that sometimes in preparation for sermons. And I found take delight in the Lord was translated differently. This is verse 5 of the Scripture. And this is how it was translated in one version. Sorry, I don't have the version. I didn't write it down. It said, feed on God's faithfulness. That's refreshing. I never thought of it that way. Feed on God's faithfulness. What does that mean? It means as you read Scripture, as you get God's greater story, the overstory, you can feed on that Scripture and you can see the faithfulness of God. Feed on God's faithfulness. Feed on God's faithfulness. And then in my own life, I need to be constantly writing in a journal, writing down thoughts about where have I seen God be faithful this week? Where has he been faithful? Where has God shown up this week when I needed God to show up? And I've been telling Gina, he just seems to show up. I wish we could work straighten this out, me and the Lord. But he seems to give me what I need right when I need it. I'm like, how about a couple of days earlier? Lord, that'd be great. Give me a little margin. Give me a little space. But things seem to be coming right when I need them. And I praise God for his faithfulness. Last October, I was visiting Dick Nahr. Many of you know Dick Nahr. He passed away in last October in hospice of East Texas. And I made a visit to Dick Nahr, Dr. Dick Nahr. And he and his son, Rich, is about 7:15 in the morning at hospice of East Texas. And I walk in, friends, this is beautiful. I hope this is the end of your life. I hope this is a picture of the end of your life. But they're sharing a devotion together. Beautiful moment. I walk into it. And this is Psalm 73 is what they're studying together. Hear these words. Yet I am always with you. You hold me by my right hand. You guide me with your counsel. And afterward, you will take me into glory. Whom have I in heaven but you? And earth has nothing I desire besides you. Wow. Beautiful words. My flesh, my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart, and God is my portion forever. And they were discussing, what does it mean to have God be your portion? You know, something that's the inheritance of land, but I think it's the portion of just, God is my sustenance. God is my all. God is everything to me. My relationship with Christ is the most important thing to me. That's what the portion is to me. That's what I read as I study this and was thinking about it. And that's how our discussion kind of evolved around this text. And I thought about this. Here was a 90-year-old physician. At the end of his life, he knows he's dying, and he's reading God's Word. He's there with his son, and he's celebrating his source of happiness. His source of happiness was not his long, faithful medical career of 60 years, though that is impressive. His portion was not his wonderful and attentive family, and my goodness, the Nahr family was so attentive to their father. And his His portion was not his accolades and his professional success. And by the way, Dick Nahr is responsible for bringing emergency rooms to Tyler, Texas. And if you've been to an emergency room, you can thank Dick Nahr for that. No, that was not his portion. He was talking about God being his portion. He was talking about having his anchor of his life built in Christ, and God was his supreme all and all. So the visits to the Nahr's home that I made preceding that, I saw Dr. Nahr's secret. There on his kitchen table, always an open Bible. He was a lifelong reader. Read his obituary. But he was most importantly a lifelong reader of God's word. And also not only a reader of God's word, he put his full trust in the Lord all the days of his life. This is the kind of trust you want to have as you come to the end of your life, friends. A trust in the Lord. This is the kind of relationship with God where we can say, a relationship with God is the best thing you could acquire during your time that you have here on earth. The reward of following Jesus, hear me now, the reward of following Jesus is Jesus. That's the greatest reward of all. That is my portion. That is where I will stand, and that's what I am committed to. And lastly, Gamel, commit your way to the Lord, and he will make your righteousness shine. Jesus said, let your light so shine before others that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father in heaven. Not to your glory, give glory to your Father in heaven. So we know that many of you have heard that this last two days early in the week, Monday and Tuesday, the staff was at the Watermark Church in Dallas. So 14 of us went to go and to be a part of a leadership conference there at a great church in the Dallas area. And I got to hear Pastor T.A. Adick speak, and he shared from Matthew 11, 28 through 30 these words, and you're familiar with them. Take my yoke upon you, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For Jesus said, your yoke is easy. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. And he brought some reflection to that. And he said to every leader in the room, myself included, that ministry is hard. Ministry is challenging. Ministry will take everything you'll give to it. But we do not do ministry alone. Ministry can be easier because we not only are yoked to God's word, we are yoked to Jesus. You know, a yoke always has two animals in there, one being yourself and the other one being Jesus. That's the reason why we are yoked, and it's easy work, because we are yoked to Jesus as we do the work. We do not do it on our own. And boy, I wish I could remember that more often. You're going to have hard days in school, Taz, and you're going to have hard times, Knox, right? And there's going to be hard times for you as well. But you know what, friends, Will? Remember, God is standing right there with you. You are yoked to Jesus. And then lastly, let me say this. The other pastor I got to hear share, he was interviewed because I don't think he could have spoken for an hour standing at a lectern. An author of more than 100 books, a founder of Insight for Living radio broadcast, former president of Dallas Theological Seminary. We got to hear Chuck Swindoll. Raise your hand if you know 91-year-old Chuck Swindoll. How many of you have been blessed by the devotional writings of Chuck Swindoll? 100 books. Friends, look at the hands up in the room today. Chuck Swindoll spoke. And one of the things that he shared with us as he shares is, at every major turn in my life, God was there. And God always brought some kind of new surprise. And then he quoted Romans 11:35, oh, the depth of the riches of the wisdom of the knowledge of God, how unsearchable and the judgments, how unfathomable, how unmeasurable are these ways. God's wisdom is indefinitely immeasurable. So I ask this question, will our happiness be found in things, in accolades, and things accomplished? Certainly go after them, not against any pleasures and great things, but will our happiness be tied to that, or will our happiness be tied to Christ? That is the key to the message. And if your happiness is not tied to Christ, friends, then please talk to Pastor Brandy or any member of this church before leaving today, because if it's not, then you will not be finding the fulfillment of the joy of the life which Christ has for us. You know, the things we accumulate in life, the money, the titles, the possessions, in the words of John Ortberg from his book, inspired by the Monopoly game, at the end of the game, it all goes back in the box. It all goes back in the box. Those in the room, your kids will come in and they'll have an estate sale and they'll start parceling out everything you've been treasuring all these years, right? We dread those days, right? But we won't be there to see it. But make sure your happiness is not found in what you possess. Your happiness is found in Jesus Christ, the one eternal thing, and also in the relationships with others that love you and are sitting by you today. That is what matters. Loving others and loving God. And so, friends, as I wrap this up, from the wisdom of the Psalms, don't fret about others, especially if they're practicing evil, but trust in the Lord and commit your way to Him. And as we share in communion in just a moment, after we have this great interview with some of our graduating seniors, let me just say this. Let's be transformed by a new vision of having our happiness be found in God. We don't have a God who gives us blessings to make us happy. We have a God who is our greatest blessing. Thanks be to God for that. Amen.
Thank you for watching our broadcast this morning. You may have noticed that we are worshiping in our fellowship hall. This is due to the installation of our long-awaited pipe organ that should be completed and voiced by early June. Please visit our website to learn more about our church, the new organ, and our ministry and serving opportunities. Contributions can be made to the church or by sending a check to the church. I hope you'll come and visit our church in person, and may God bless you.